It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Kester, Jacob Albrecht, Paul Savage, TJ Cleland joining us. We've got the four box here today, gentlemen. It is our Friday football picks, and we are ready to jump into it today. Jacob, I know you put the lines together. I'm going to lead everything today. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that works. We're driving out to a charity golf tournament right now, but I am ready to make up some ground on the big man back there, just sitting high up on the mountain, I don't even know what to make of it.
Yeah, Paul, yeah, you had an incredible week last week.
I think I strained something. I was lucky. Come on. I was just plain luck. It was plain luck.
6-0 for Paul Savage.
You know, you got to have a little luck. Jacob, of all people, you know you got to have a little luck if you're running.
I think what makes me the angriest is Savage does not use that lucky gift for good. He doesn't bet the games. Like, if I had a 6-0 week, man, I'd be cleaning up.
6-0 for Paul Savage. On the flip side, Jacob, 1-5, I believe, you last week. You want to talk about that? Any comments? I think we lost Jacob. They can't hear Jad. They can't hear me on my end. I think my microphone is muted here.
Tommy, I think you're muted, man.
Well, if that's the case, it looks like. With just you and me, we can do it. I mean, for God's sakes, we'll make Jacob's picks, and we'll make Tommy picks for him. How's that?
Is that better? Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
okay. All right, so my question, though, before we jump into this, Jacob, on the flip side, 1-5 for you last week. Any comments on that?
No, not really. I actually made money on one of those picks. I went back to the Niners, so... but we make the picks on Fridays. That's the rules. It's hard sometimes. The good news is we get KU, K-State tonight. So these will be actual, like, bets, not you know, because you can change your mind in the last couple of days. But listen, it's fine. It's fine. I seem to recall, Tommy, there was a week last year that I believe you pulled off the ultimate week and went, was it 0 for 10?
I was 0 for 10 one week last year. So I don't really have a whole lot of room to... to talk. Honestly, I wear that as a badge of honor. I mean,
it's really hard.
It might be harder to go 0-10 than it would be to go 10-0. So I was actually pretty impressed with myself that week.
Yeah, you know, and the sad thing about this entire Friday night is, TJ, this particularly affects you and I.
You and I are going to be on the sidelines of some high school game. I don't know where you'll be. You'll be all over the place, and I'll be over at the East Northwest game coaching football. But, man, it's a bummer we do not get to watch KU and K-State. That's a bummer. We got to record it. But it's never quite as good as watching the game live while it's going on. That's kind of a bummer for you and I, isn't it?
Yeah, I've become quite a savant at the YouTube TV on the phone in the left hand and the camera in the right hand and the box scores on the watch. So we find a way around. You have to adapt and overcome whenever things come like
this. I went to a wedding this last summer of a football coach, and the K-State game was on. You can't imagine how many phones were out while this wedding was going on with the people watching this couple get married. There were phones everywhere out while the K-State game was going on. Can you believe that?
The way
I
it is.
It. I've done it.
The way it is.
You've done it.
Hey, by the way, we're going to talk high school football with TJ coming up a little bit later on in this hour for Ketchup, Kansas, and what's going on around the area. Real quick, a quick recap of last week. We talked about it a little bit before we get the games picked for this week. Of course, Paul, 6-0. He's got a two-game lead over myself and TJ. We both went 4-2 last week. TJ, you went 5-1 last week. I went 4-2, but we're both two games back from Paul overall. Brandon went 2-4 last week, and you know, Jacob, we already talked about you. So it's going to be a bounce back week for you, Mr. Albrocht, and we'll go ahead and get right into it. Jad, go ahead and hit the music. I think we are all ready to go here to make our picks for Friday football picks. Let's get started with the first college game tonight in Kansas City at Children's Mercy Park. You've got the Jayhawks trying to bounce back after their three-point loss on the road at Illinois last week, taking on UNLV. It's a rematch of last year's Guaranteed Rate Bowl. The Jayhawks are currently 9.5-point favorites. TJ, let's start with you. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, looking at this one, you know, on social media, there's a lot of people that say that the Jayhawks are on upset alert, that UNLV is really good. I mean, they beat the heck out of Houston, so I understand all the hype around that. I'm going to take KU covering this one, though, even though we saw what we saw last week at Illinois. But I really think that, you know, listening to them this week in their press conferences, they're just like all of us. It's not like they're clueless about what happened. They know they need to get the running backs more involved in this game and everything that went wrong. They're very aware of what happened, and I really can imagine KU bouncing back and not letting that happen again.
So KU to cover for TJ. Let's do Brandon next. I've got Brandon Zinner's picks. He's not in with us today. He's taking UNLV, and he's taking the points to cover 9.5. So he likes what UNLV is doing, at least to keep that game relatively close. Jacob, let's go to you next. What do you like in this game?
I think it's the hardest one of all of our picks. It's a lot of points. I've said all along I'm going to bet the KU defense this week. Even as much as Jalen Daniels has not looked good, has struggled, my bets are going to be with the KU defense. I hate taking unders. I'm going to take the unders. But as far as the line goes, I'm going to stick with that defensive bet. I'll reluctantly take KU here. It's way too many points. My actual bet on the game is going to be the under, but we've got to pick one or the other. I'll take KU because I do think their defense will slow UNLV way down.
All right, Jacob laying the points there. Paul, what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what's throwing me off on this game is the game against Houston with the UNLV winning that thing. And winning it decisively, I mean, it was a spanking. Now, last I checked, Houston's still a Big 12 team, so that says something. Now, because UNLV beat Houston, I am really, really inclined to take UNLV because of that, because it tells me something, that there is a set of players on this team. There is a set of probably a force to be reckoned with at the line of scrimmage. I reluctantly, and I hate to do this, but I am not a believer of KU yet. KU has to show me something. I haven't seen it. I'm going to go ahead and take UNLV. I'm going to join Brandon. And I got a feeling I know where Tommy's going to go.
So, you know, I think the biggest thing that I like in this game and the way I'm going to bet it is actually the under. And I know that, Jacob, you talked about that a little bit. This is a matchup. I mean, these two teams, the final score last year in the bowl game between these two very teams, it's 49-36. They put up a ton of points a year ago. This is a different KU offense with a different play caller. I underestimated the difference in the offense when you change the play caller there. And now Jeff Grimes has had a lot of criticism this week about the way he called the Illinois game. I like the under. I think until Kansas figures out what they're doing offensively, I'm going to lean on that. Paul, you might be surprised. I'm going to join you and Brandon. I'm going to take UNLV.
I'm stuck.
I'm going to take the points. I think Kansas wins the game, but I think it'll be a touchdown game when it's all said and done. You know, double digits is tough. I mean, it's a 9.5-point spread, so Kansas would have to win by double digits to cover. That's a lot for me, especially knowing what we saw a week ago with Kansas's offense. I hope I'm proved wrong, and I hope that they, you know, I hope that they unlock what they need to unlock offensively, but I'm going to take UNLV, and I'll take the 9.5. The other in-state game, the other Friday night primetime game, is the non-conference conference game for the Wildcats taking on Arizona. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff. Of course, you can hear that game right here on KFH tonight. Arizona, they are road dogs by a touchdown. The Wildcats are favored by 7 at home. We'll start with Brandon this time. I've got his picks. He is taking the Arizona Wildcats, and he's going to take the 7 points. You know, I think he probably thinks it's going to be a little bit of a closer game there in Manhattan tonight. Let's go to Jacob. You're next. How about you?
So I hate this line. I don't like either of the lines. This one, I'm going to take Arizona. I'm going to take the points. I think K-State wins, but I don't think it's by more than a touchdown. This feels to me like a thriller in the making. I'm so excited about this game. I know everybody, the hype around this game is massive, and it should be. I do think K-State will play better than they have offensively the first couple of weeks, but their defense is a problem right now. And so I think Arizona is going to be able to do some things, but I'll take Arizona in the points to cover. I do think K-State will win, but I'm going to take the points with the Wildcats.
Paul, how about you? You're next.
Well, to me, this is a fairly easy game because I haven't seen enough from K-State to think that this is a really, really great football team. Now, it all depends on how much you think of Tulane. How good is Tulane? We'll find out Saturday when they play Oklahoma, which we will be picking next, by the way. But with that being said, you know something? I'm not convinced. I need to see Avery Johnson. I need to see him out in space. I need to see him able to create. I need to see him move around in the pocket. I need to see him do some things to enable this offense to be as good as it can be. I have not seen that yet in both games, whether it's Tennessee Martin or whether it was last week at Tulane. For that reason, and because Arizona is still a top 20 team, I'm going to go ahead and take Arizona. And you're giving me 20 points, and I've got a top 20 team, and you're going to give me
7 points.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're giving me 7 points?
We'll give you 7 points, Paul.
Sorry about that.
But I would never give you 20 points on anything.
Ranked 20th, and you're giving 7. There we go. I got it out, finally. But I'm going to go ahead and take the points. 7 points to a team like Arizona. Really dangerous, fellas. I'm going to take Arizona.
All right, well, I'll go next. I mentioned earlier this week, I've said it a couple different times, I believe that the Wildcats currently have a Dylan Edwards problem. And that problem is they need to give him more touches. But I am concerned that you don't want to take away touches from DJ Giddens, who has also been really good this year. So that's going to be a conundrum, how they, you know, do that. And one thing that Tim Fitzgerald yesterday mentioned was he would love to see both of those guys on the field more often, giving both of them more snaps. And then you've got that much more versatility. It hasn't been an explosive offense through the first two games for the Wildcats overall. They've been sloppy at times, but I think they get it figured out in this game. It's a huge matchup for them, prime time on national TV in that window on Friday night. I'm going to take Kansas State. I'll lay the 7 points because I do think that this will be kind of the national, I don't even want to say national coming out party for Avery Johnson because everybody already knows him, but this is his team now and he'll get to have it on display in front of everybody tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Kansas State Wildcats and I'll lay the 7 points. TJ, we'll wrap it up with you.
Hey, Tommy, I want you to write down that the Wildcats are going to cover. I can't believe you guys left the low-hanging fruit for the young guy to make the dad joke there, but I'll take it. I'm going to say K-State's always good for two things, it feels like. They always slip up in a silly one, which just wouldn't be a silly one. It's a great game. A slip up in a non-conference game, or they make a huge statement, like going on the road at Oklahoma and winning that one. I'm going to go with K-State in this one. I think that this could be a game like that, like Tommy said, a coming out party. They always find a way to play up to opponents when they need to play up to opponents, it feels like, and they also find a way to play down to opponents sometimes as well. But I'm going to go, I think that they've really been pretty vanilla the past couple of games, and it almost bit them last week. I think that they need to take a look in the mirror, and if they want to win this game, they need to cut it loose, as Tommy said, let Dylan in there a little bit more, get some more touches, and just let Avery do his thing in that offense. I think that they've been holding back and being pretty conservative. They need to cut it loose if they want to win by 7 tonight.
You know, even though I think we all probably agree that we don't love the fact that both of these games are Friday night games, with high school football around the state going on too, and they're both, you know, at home basically for both KU and K-State. Don't love that. I mean, it's going to be more than likely fantastic football tonight. So looking forward to both of those games. Our final college pick will stay in the Big 12. Oklahoma at home. This game is tomorrow in Norman. Tulane comes to town. Guys, this is, I think, a really intriguing game. And Jacob, I'm really excited that you put this game on the list because we saw what Tulane did at home against Kansas State a week ago. They almost won that game, and they controlled a portion of that game for sure against the Wildcats. And then OU really struggled against Houston, and Houston looks to be one of, if not the worst team in the Big 12. What do you like in this game? OU favored by 13. They're laying 13 points. Are you comfortable laying 13 with OU?
No, I'm not. Look, it's more to me about Tulane. It's a little bit about Oklahoma, as they've been a little slow out of the gates the last couple of years. I think they're capable. I think they're real. I think Tulane's good. And so 13 points, there aren't very many good college football games this weekend. which is why we went to this former Big 12, now SEC. But I think Tulane makes it interesting for us. I'm going to take those points because I do think their offense is pretty legit.
Paul, you're next.
Oh, boy. I'm going to be on an island on this one because you know how much I've been playing up Tulane, right? Tulane's a dog. I've just been fooling you guys. You're now going to bet along right with me. I've got you guys right where I want you. I've taken OU and given the points because Tulane is a fake.
Wow.
I'm taking OU, and it'll be by 21.
Wow. If Tulane is a fake, what does that make Kansas State? Because Tulane just about beat them last week, Paul. That's wild. So Paul is taking the 13 points. Tulane to cover.
No, I'm giving 13.
You're giving. I know you're taking 13 points.
Oh, okay.
You're getting 13 points good against Tulane. I'm gonna take Tulane. I'm gonna take the points. You laid the points, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha. You're laying the points and
right,
taking OU.
That's right.
I'm taking Tulane.
Okay.
I was confused. Taking Tulane. I'm gonna take the 13 points. That's too many for me, and especially after watching the way that Tulane worked over Kansas State, especially their secondary in the first half last week. I just think that the green wave will continue this on. I'm sure more than likely at home, OU will probably win the game, but I don't think it's going to be by that kind of margin. So I'll take Tulane, and I'll take the points. TJ, you're up next.
This feels like when you have a 15 at the blackjack table and you're facing a 10 that you really don't want to hit it because you know you're going to bust, but you, by the book, you have to take it. So I'm going to play by the book and have to take Tulane to cover 13 points. As you guys said, they're a really good team. I think that Oklahoma's going to win this game. They'll probably win this game by 10 points, but I think that Tulane can cover. 13's a lot of points, but I think that Oklahoma does. The thing about Tulane is that they've got film on them now. Everybody watched that K-State game. I think that Brent Venables is a great defensive mind. I think that Oklahoma's going to win this game handily, but I think that Tulane's still going to cover 13 points.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue for OU is the fact that they only managed to put up, 16 points last week against Houston, of all teams? So I think that's going to be the major challenge, is what OU can do offensively. By the way, Brandon Zinner is also taking Tulane, and he's taking the points. I guess that means, Paul, you get an OU island.
I'll tell you what, OU on an island has never happened. I've been doing this a long time on this show. I have never seen OU on an island with one guy taking it, ever.
Well, you get that island and hopefully a little string bikini for you on that OU island this weekend. Let's shift gears, go from college to the NFL. Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road at Detroit. The Lions are laying 7 points. Paul, I believe you are starting this round. What do you like in this game?
Well, here's the thing. I've enjoyed the Lions. I'm a Lions fan. I'm a Dan Campbell fan ever since Hard Knocks on HBO. I've loved that. I love the way he operates. He's one of the last of the old school, Tommy. He's one of the last.
You're a fanboy for Dan Campbell.
I am a fanboy for Dan. I'm going to go ahead and give the 7 points. And I'm doing this more based upon the Lions than the Bucks. I'm probably a little biased. I'm not analyzing this right. But I'll tell you what, guys, the Lions could be in the Super Bowl. It's a possibility. They are a solid football club. I'm going to take the Lions.
Well, I'm up next, and it took the Lions overtime to win in their opener a week ago. But I'm on board fully with what Detroit is doing. But by the way, I love Tampa Bay. I think Baker Mayfield has turned the page in his career, and he's thriving in Tampa Bay now. Is he ever going to be a star quarterback again? Probably not, but he can carve out, I think, a pretty nice second half of his career in Tampa Bay.
I agree.
But that being said, I think the Lions have too much firepower, plus the game is at home in Detroit. We know Jared Goff in a dome. I'm going to take the Lions. I'll lay the points. 7 is tough because it could very easily push. But I'm going to go ahead and take the Lions, and I'll lay the 7 points. TJ, you are up next.
I'm going to go with my philosophy from last week that I just like the Lions at home a lot. I don't think that I trust the Lions on the road as much as I like the Lions at home. But whether that's the dome thing or the Lions fan base is just getting bigger and bigger, I feel like. I think the Buccaneers are a great team. I just don't think I can trust Baker Mayfield to go into a hostile environment like that in Detroit and get it done. So I'm gonna stick with the kneecaps, go to the Lions here.
Brandon is next up. He's going to take Tampa Bay. He'll take the 7 points for the Bucs to keep it a close game. That takes care of a potential for an island, at least for Jacob. If Jacob picks the Lions, then that means Brandon gets an island. Jacob, what do you think, my friend?
I was hoping to get an island. I'm going to take the Bucks. Look, it's not a knock on the Lions at all. I think these are two good teams. And when you have two good teams, that's a big number. And so I'm going to take the points. That Bucks offense also gets to play in a dome this week. And the Lions aren't all the way there yet. It would appear they have a new weapon in Jameson Williams. At some point, that offense could certainly explode. But I think this is a good test for their defense because the Bucks have as good a group of pass catchers as there is. So it's just a tip of the cap that the Bucks are for real, that I'm going to take the points. I think the Lions win the game, but I think it's outside that number. And so I'll take those 7 points and I'll take Tampa.
Guys, this is the very first time in our Friday football picks this year that we have had the opportunity to pick a Chiefs game. Last week, they played Thursday Night Football in the opener, and so we did not do picks until that game was actually over. So this will be the first time that we pick a Chiefs game at Arrowhead Sunday afternoon. Cincinnati comes to town. We know the history and background between both of these teams. The Chiefs are laying 6 points. I will start this round. I'm going to take the Chiefs, and I'm going to lay the 6 points. I think they win by a touchdown. I think it's going to be close. These two teams, it kind of goes against conventional wisdom because the last, I think, 3 or 4 times they played, each game has been decided by a field goal. So I'm going away from that. I'm saying the Chiefs are going to win by a touchdown. And, you know, last season, Kansas City did a pretty terrible job for the most part at covering the number from week to week. That being said, though, it's a different Chiefs team. I'm going to take Kansas City, and I'll lay the 6 points. TJ?
I don't know if I'm betting with my heart or my head here, but I'll go with my heart on this one. I think I might tease this up and take the Chiefs by even more. I think that they're going to win this one in a big way. I've argued with everybody, so maybe it's just me defending myself, but I don't think that Joe Burrow is going to be the same Joe Burrow that we saw early in his career, you know, with the wrist injury and everything like that. And just this Bengals team, looking at what happened last year in week one, it doesn't look like a team that we saw a couple of years ago. I think that the Chiefs obviously want to get one more up on Joe Burrow. He's still got a 3-1 lead over Patrick Mahomes, so a lot of motivation there. And I just don't think this Bengals team is as good as those other Bengals teams that we've seen. It's the same team, but they just don't look like the same team. I think the Chiefs will win by double digits.
Wow. Well, Brandon agrees with both you and I, TJ. He's going to take the Chiefs and lay the 6 points as well. So that's, so far it's been 3 up and 3 down for Kansas City. Jacob, you are up next.
From a betting perspective, this game's a trap. It started at 7, remember, and is now, which means the sharp money is probably betting the Bengals. It's a trap. I know it's a trap, but the Bengals don't play well lately, early in the year. I don't believe they have T. Higgins for this game, so they're not at full strength. I'm going to take the Chiefs. I feel great about the Chiefs. I feel great about the Chiefs, but the game is a trap, so it's really more, you know, are the Bengals all the way there yet? No, I don't think they are. Neither are the Chiefs, by the way. Hollywood Brown's not going to play, I don't think, unless something changed in the last day. So I'm going to take the Chiefs as well because my brain just says take the Chiefs. I think the Bengals are not all the way back yet. But just keep in mind, this game is a trap.
Fellas, we are giving Paul Savage an opportunity for a Cincinnati Bengals island. Are you going to take that island, Paul?
You know something? I want to thank you guys, and I really appreciate you looking after the old guy on the show. It's really nice of you to do that and allow me this opportunity because I can tell you right now, heck yes, I'm taking the Bengals on an island. There's a chance to pick one up. You know, 6 points is a lot of 6 points. Is Joe Burrow as good as he's been? No. But I'll tell you what, it's NFL football, and the Chiefs can still make me happy by not covering but still winning the game. That's a pretty good deal for me. I will take the island, my friends.
You know, honestly, that's not a terrible island. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, the last 3 or 4 times they've played, the game has been decided by a field goal each time. Mm-hmm. So that lends, you know, some credibility to taking the Bengals and taking those 6 points. We'll see how that one pans out. One more game, our final pick, as we wrap up our Friday football picks of the day. Chicago Bears on the road in Houston taking on the Texans. It was a pretty disastrous debut for Caleb Williams a week ago, but he leaned on the Bears defense. That defense came to play for sure, and you know, the Texans look like they are probably for real. Houston laying 6.5 points. We'll start with TJ. What do you like here?
Oh, this is a tough one. This is probably one of the tougher ones, I think, on the docket, because I really like the Bears, but the Bears did not do it for me last week. Obviously, that's the definition of vanilla. What did Caleb complete? 9 passes yep. or something ridiculous? He kicked me out of the guillotine league is what he did. I'm going to probably take the Texans. I've been big on them. I think I said that they're going to knock the Chiefs out in the playoffs in our picks we did a couple of weeks ago. So I'll stick with my guns on that one. I think the Texans can win this by touchdown.
Let's do Brandon next. So Brandon is also taking the Texans. He's laying the 6.5. So that is his final pick of the week. Jacob, you're up next.
I'll say that I reserve my right in my wallet to change my mind on this, but for these picks, and I think this is where I lean, I'm going to take the Bears. Their defense is for real. I want to see Houston prove two things. I want to see them score on a defense like this, and I want to see them stop all these talented receivers. I think Caleb Williams is going to be better than he was in the first week. I really like their defense, though. I'll take the Bears. I'll take those points. It's the hook that's getting me a little bit. That 6.5. If it was 6, I'm not sure, but I'll take the hook. I'll take 6.5. I'll take the Bears.
Paul?
Who on this show said that it was the biggest mistake in the world for the Chicago Bears to take Caleb Williams? Well, I believe that was me. I said, I don't see any reason why I see nothing that makes me think he will be a great, great, great NFL quarterback. We've seen a ton of guys just like him who have not panned out, and he was the biggest disappointment in his first game ever. What was 80-some yards passing? Correct me, Jake.
He didn't have a good debut.
Did not have a good day. Didn't even have 100 yards passing. Now, he's got great receivers, too, by the way. It's not like he doesn't have targets or weapons that he can use. Defense is great for the Bears. But I'll tell you what, guys, this is going to be a big disappointment. And here's the main reason why I'm saying all this. Most of the time when I watch HBO Hard Knocks, I fall in love with that team. I fall in love with those guys. I fall in love with the coaching staff. They've got great people. I did not give two hoots and you know what about the Bears after I finished Hard Knocks. And I'm telling you, that says something for me. I'm not a Bears fan because I didn't like them on Hard Knocks, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm taking the Texans. Hey, guys, you know, you may laugh at me. The Texans could be in the Super Bowl.
I don't think that's anything to laugh about. Okay. I think that, in fact, in my opinion, I think Houston is the most likely challenger to Kansas City in the conference, even above the Ravens. I'm totally a Texans believer. I'm going to take Houston. I'm going to lay the 6.5 because I just am a believer in C.J. Stroud and what they're doing with that organization. By the way, I need to make a disclaimer. For anybody that's wondering, Paul is not a paid endorser for HBO or Hard Knocks. With the number of times that he brings up that show, like every time he turns on the microphone, he is not, as far as I know, he is not being compensated for any of his remarks on that show. Do you have a deal with HBO?
No, okay. I really don't. Seriously, I do not. If I did, I'd give you a share of it.
I would appreciate that a lot. That is our picks of the week here on the Friday Football Picks. Before we take a quick break, while we still have Jacob, we're going to keep TJ on for another segment. TJ, you did reference this, and I wanted to mention it before we go to break. Our guillotine league that we're in, you organize this 32-team fantasy guillotine league with folks all over, media folks in the area around the state. You were the guy that put in the blood, sweat, and tears to get it going. You were also the first team out. What's your reaction now that you're sitting on the sidelines for the rest of the season?
It sucks. I was talking to my fiance Gabby about it, and she follows along and lives vicariously through my fantasy teams. And she's like, "So you're gonna get kicked out first?" I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Well, at least you get to still be in it and run it for everybody else and still be a part of it." And
yeah.
I'm like, "That is the worst possible outcome that it could be, Gabby. What do you mean?"
Yeah, I texted you the other day. I'm like, "Hey, you can now be the commissioner that we all need for the rest of this league.
A full time commissioner. Leagues have that?
Not very many.
Congratulations to that league. A full time commissioner."
32 teams, and TJ's the first one out of 32, which that's almost as impressive as me going 0-10 for a week in our picks a year ago. So we'll keep TJ around for another segment. Jacob, enjoy the golfing this afternoon. Hit him straight. Don't three-putt. Hopefully you have some birdies out there.
It's a scramble. I'll pretend like I contributed.
Yeah, hit him long and hit him straight.
They always say drive for show and putt for dough. Hopefully that's what will happen for you today, Jacob, out there on the links. We'll step aside for a timeout on the other side. Paul returns. TJ returns. We'll talk some high school football around the area and some Ketchik, Kansas updates. That's on the way for you on Sports Daily. Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily on KFH. I'm Tommy Caster. Paul Savage in for the remainder of the show, as is TJ Cleland, talking some high school football. Of course, we know TJ, our buddy from 12 News, was part of our Friday football picks. Of course, catch at Kansas. We're through week one, fellas, of the high school football season, getting ready to get into week number two that kicks off tonight. Paul, I'm actually going to start with you because I really felt like, and this is something that you've got some knowledge on, I really felt like Wichita East made a statement a week ago, blowing out, shutting out Heights 48-0. It's going to be a pretty major matchup this evening as Northwest plays East. Northwest beat Bishop Carroll a week ago by 3 scores. And so I think it's pretty highly anticipated. I know you're very close, obviously, to that East program. First off, how was last week and the results of that game for you guys, and what are you expecting tonight against Northwest?
But did we play last week? I mean it's in the rear view.
Yeah,
mirror.
Well, I know. That's true coach speak right there,
oh,
Mr. Savage.
Well, good. Okay, good. Well, the point is that the focus of Northwest is on East, and of East it's on Northwest. Is what do they do? What do they do best? What are you going to stop? You know, the problem with Northwest, looking at it from the position of East, is that they do so many things, and they do so many things well. And it's hard to pick one or two things out. You do the best you can and prepare for everything that you can and everything that you think you'll see. They do a great job of moving around formations. They make you change the way you line up on defense, which is really good, shows a high degree of coaching. So it's going to be a fun game. Listen, it may be one of the most physical games in the state. It has that possibility, and that's why you ought to, you know, whatever you're doing, come on out. If you're not interested in KU or K-State, come on out and fill the stands. I worry about, you know, not having enough people there. This is a big game, and this is for every high school in the state of Kansas. Mm. Get out and support your teams. Support your town. Support whoever you follow, and make sure you get out and watch them. You can always record KU and K-State, but get out and support some high school football tonight.
Yeah, you know, not to bring up bad memories, Paul, but East started the season last year 0-2, and so looking to flip that script this year with a win against Northwest. TJ, obviously that's probably the most highly anticipated matchup, at least in the City League tonight. Whether it's that game or another game in the area, which ones are you guys following at Ketchikan, Kansas?
Yeah, obviously that's the huge one. That's the game of the week. I know probably every media outlet in a drivable vicinity will probably be at that one. And for good reason, with, you know, obviously the history between these two teams and what happened last year with these two teams, but more so of the amount of talent that's going to be on this field is probably some of the most Division I talent you'll see between two teams all year long in this area. You know, there's going to be probably double-digit players that are going to be playing Division I football between the two teams combined, probably more than that. So going to be a great game there. A couple other good ones that we're going to be at. War on 54 tonight, Goddard versus Eisenhower going down on the west side. Last year, Eisenhower had the perfect season going. Goddard kind of pulled the upset off to win the league championship in that game, so some bad blood there. Goddard knocked off Mays week one, only held the Eagles to 3 points. So that's Goddard football, if you ever watched Goddard football. So it should be a fun one there. A couple others I got my eye on is Conway Springs is traveling to Garden Plain tonight for some small school football. It's the number one team in 1A is Conway Springs, and Garden Plain's obviously great too. If you've watched these two teams play, they play the same brand of football. They're going to run it down your throats the entire game. I would be shocked if there's more than 10 combined passing attempts in this game. It's going to be like just button heads all night long in that one. And then Andale, first time we're going to watch Andale this year. They blow out El Dorado last week. You know, they lost the nation's longest winning streak last year. They have a tough test in week two. They go to Wellington. Wellington nearly knocked off Collegiate, who's ranked in class 3A. Lost it the final couple minutes in that one. They got a lot of talent in Wellington, and their coach is awesome down there. It'll be a big test for Andale to see if they're legit early this year.
A couple of the major matchups that we highlighted a week ago that, you know, results of them, obviously we know now heading into week number two, Andover Central had their way against Hutchinson, beating them by 30. Derby had basically no trouble on the road at Hayes to kick off their season. But TJ, what I thought probably the matchup that stood out the most to me from week one that has me kind of wondering what's going to happen moving forward was that Capen Andover game a week ago. Capen, of course, made the move down to 4A, and there might be a little bit of growing pains as they get used to playing in a class lower. They did beat Andover, but Andover went 0-9 a season ago, and Capen had a little bit of trouble pulling away. They only beat Andover by a touchdown. Was that outcome surprising to you?
It was surprising. I think this is a little bit of a two-way street. You know, obviously Capen doesn't have Amari Elias or you know, the Thingball brothers and a lot of the talent that they had, especially Amari Elias. That's the best running back in the state. They don't have back pretty much. So definitely just kind of relearning what their identity is. Amari's been playing varsity football since he's been a freshman. And that was, if you're in trouble, if it's third and 15, you can give it to him and he's going to help you out. So kind of restructuring everything around that a little bit. But Weston Schartz is an awesome coach. And so they'll figure it out, I think. But also in the same breath, Andover, we watched them a couple of times last year, and they had a lot of talent. It just felt like they could never get it right. And it's like they're young, and they're a really raw team is the way to put it, I guess. But something's there. They got a new coach. I know their coach came over from campus this year. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they could pick up a couple here and there. It's going to be a better year in Andover than it was last year. They play Mays tonight. Mays just only scored 3 points against Goddard, which is saying a little bit about Goddard, but I think that could be one to watch if Mays isn't careful.
Paul, I know that you know, obviously you will be on the sideline tonight for that highly anticipated East and Northwest matchup. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that you weren't at the game, you weren't on the sideline. As you take a look at this Week 2 slate, in your mind, are there any other games that stand out? Any games that you think are going to end up being, you know, games at least that people should, you know, go out and support?
Well, the one that, and TJ brought it up, I'm going to go ahead and reiterate, because if you said, where do you want to go? I'd go Wellington Andale. I think that's going to be a fascinating game, TJ, and you were right to bring that up, because we had a phenomenon that happened last year, and that was Andale not Wynn State. I mean, come on now.
They lost twice to Cheney.
They lost twice to the same team. Yeah. And by the way, in coaching circles, TJ, and I know you've been hearing this, Cheney has a great coaching staff. I know you hear that from everybody, but I think it's actually true. Everybody, all the coaching fraternity here in this area has great respect for the coaches at Cheney, and I think you've heard that as well. But that's the one game.
Yeah.
Now, there's other good games. I mean, you know, the War on 54.
Of course.
I mean, of course, that would be a great one. I think that those are the games that I would like to go see. But I think, you know, everything's probably going to be overshadowed by Northwest.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And East, and why wouldn't it be until we figure out which one of these two are the king of the castle? We'll have.
Yeah. Well, and you know, there are a couple of City League schools that are on the road outside of the Metro. Heights travels to Topeka. You know, campus does go to Derby, so that's a matchup in Derby, the first home game for the Panthers this year. Carroll on the road at Wichita Southeast. And then, you know, so of course, Capen plays at Wichita North as well. TJ, before we let you go, if folks are wanting to get ready for the slate of games tonight, or, you know, obviously follow the scores and the finals as they come in, what do you guys have going on at Ketchup, Kansas?
Yeah, we'll have Brandon Zinner heading out to that Northwest East game for the game of the week. We'll have Rachel up in Kansas State tonight, so we're going to have a little bit of college and high school going on, trying to multitask tonight. But we'll have Brandon live out there all afternoon from 4:30 on. After the 6 o'clock show at 6:30, if people are heading out to games, they can pull up their phone, pull up the Catch Kansas Facebook or the 12 News app. We're going to have a live show on there coming to you, the 12 News kickoff show. And it's just more in-depth coverage of that game. We're going to make picks. It's what you just saw here on the high school scene, pretty much. That's a lot of fun there. And then, of course, Catch Kansas Show, 10:30. Scores will be up on catchkansas.com and everything in between, pretty much.
Hey, look, I'll tell you, TJ, I understand why. You don't have to explain it. I get why you don't have Paul and I on the kickoff show making picks. I mean, we're kicking your butt already in this pick, you know, on KFH. I'm sure you don't want that to happen again.
It's true. You got it right.
Well, good luck to tonight and this weekend, TJ. We appreciate it as always, and we'll, of course, talk to you again next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. There goes TJ Cleland, 12 News and Catch It Kansas. Make sure to check out everything going on with the Catch It Kansas show, the 12 News app, and all of that. And, of course, we always talk high school football here on Fridays on Sports Daily. On the other side, we've talked all football on this show today. We have not talked Kansas City Royals. They start a big three-game set this weekend on the road to Pittsburgh. We'll dive into that and what you can expect. On the other side, Tommy Caster, Paul Savage at Sports Daily coming right back.
And 1240 KFH. Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Caster and Paul Savage wrapping up the show, wrapping up a Friday. We were going to talk Royals, but some breaking news came down while we were talking high school football in the previous segment with TJ Cleland. Sources are indicating Jordan Schultz, who's an NFL insider, Matt Verdami, who writes for Sports Illustrated. Multiple sources are reporting that Hollywood Brown is being placed on injured reserve by the Kansas City Chiefs. He will undergo surgery to repair his dislocated AC joint. Apparently, after multiple imaging studies, even though Hollywood Brown felt better, the injury was not healing correctly. So it looks like that surgery is set for Monday. As far as a timeline for return, just him being on IR, Paul, means that he has to miss at least four games. But we're looking at, in fact, Matt Verdami from Sports Illustrated said that he's hearing that Hollywood Brown could miss a majority of the regular season, quote, a majority of the regular season. This just now coming down. Your instant reaction to this, Paul?
Hard to appreciate this information unless you've had an injured shoulder and you know just exactly what's going on with Hollywood Brown. So, yeah, not surprised, you know. Shoulders are so weird and can be so painful that I'm not surprised. In fact, what I'm surprised at, Tommy, is that so much time went between, you know, getting the surgery done and today.
Yeah.
I mean, why
today? And that, we were talking about that during the break. Like, why is he just now having surgery?
That's a good point.
Because he injured that joint in the first, on the game, like in the first minutes of the first preseason game.
Yeah.
But apparently it's because it was not healing correctly and he felt better. But they kept doing imaging, and it wasn't healing correctly. And according to Jordan Schultz, that NFL insider, he's saying that he could potentially risk a more serious long-term injury if they do not do surgery to correct it. And so this is a major blow offensively. I know that, you know, the Chiefs have been really excited about Xavier Worthy, and, of course, Rashee Rice continues to look really great. They bring back Juju Smith-Schuster. But Hollywood Brown, Paul, was the prime non-draft acquisition during the offseason for the Chiefs.
Right.
And now it looks like they may not get him back for, gosh, I don't know, months maybe? We may be talking about Christmas time, around that time before we see Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, that's a real possibility. And of course, obviously, the possibility doesn't get back because it just isn't going to be ready. Shoulders are tough. Man, they're hard to deal with. You've had a shoulder injury.
Yeah, I broke my collarbone when I was a kid.
How was it? I mean, tough.
It was 8 weeks, in a brace.
8 weeks.
8 weeks in a brace. And I wasn't playing football. I was a little kid. So, before you can resume taking hits and putting on pads and that sort of thing.
That's right.
Who knows? I mean, of course, he's going to have rehab and he's going to have, you know, the best doctors working on him. It's a good thing we don't have much time left in the show, because if we did, I would again go off on my assertion that it was completely unnecessary and irresponsible to have Hollywood Brown on the field in the very first preseason game the way that the Chiefs did. They didn't need him. They know what he can do. I think it was unnecessary. I could talk more about that, but we're running out of time on the show.
Right.
And I was upset that he might miss the first game, maybe the second game. Now it looks like he could miss a majority of the regular season.
Right. Oh, I'm with you.
Something that doesn't matter.
I am with you 100%. No, you're exactly right on that. And it's a crying shame. But here's the other thing. There's going to be somebody that's going to step up. I mean, you've got a quarterback like Patrick.
Worthy, for
yeah,
sure.
He's going to be Worthy. He's going to be probably the number one go-to guy.
Rashee Rice is probably number one.
Great.
By the way, they still have Travis Kelce. Like, they have weapons.
Yeah.
They're better than what they were a year ago.
You've got Patrick Mahomes.
Even without Hollywood Brown, they're a better receiving room than what they had a year ago. But you would love to have Hollywood Brown be able to help take the top
defenses.
This is a big blow. You can find out more about this online at kfhradio.com. Big blow for the Kansas City Chiefs. We've got our weekend schedule, including the Royals playing a three-game set in Pittsburgh this weekend. We'll break it all down for you on the other side on KFH.
Not
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.